97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Glad you are with us here. It is a Tuesday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is the, are we up to the 19th day of November? And it's going to be in the 60s today and sunny. So go see Dr. Green. That's what I prescribe for you this morning, if you get an opportunity. I'm not going to get to do that today, but, I mean, everyone else should. If you're out and about, take a lunch. Enjoy it while it lasts. Changes are a-coming. Sometime on Wednesday into Wednesday night, I think, and then we will start dipping down a bit into the weekend.
30s are coming.
Wow. Yeah. So some people might be ready for it. I don't know. It's kind of hard to do the switch over of your wardrobe right now because it's going to be in the 60s today. You can't wear a sweater to work. It'll be too hot.
Not if you work in this studio.
Well, there are exceptions to that rule for sure. If you're in the radio business. Coming up, we're going to talk to the man, Will Scharf. He just got done running for attorney general in the primary in Missouri. He lost that race to Andrew Bailey, who just got reelected as attorney general in the state of Missouri. But, of course, he has been an attorney for President Trump, and he just got appointed as an advisor to the president, like assistant to the president in the White House. It's kind of a big deal, and we're going to get him back on the radio here coming up in about 10 minutes or so to talk more about that and what he knows about the job duties and how he hopes he's going to be able to contribute to the Trump administration. Bottom of the hour, I mentioned this last hour, if you're just waking up this morning, Vladimir Putin did something that could have an impact on all of our lives. He decided that he was in reaction to Joe Biden allowing U.S. missiles to be fired deeper into Russia. He decided that he was going to relax his standards for using nuclear weapons. He's lowering the threshold. And it's a dangerous time right now. Why Joe Biden did that, I don't know. He's refused to do it up until now. Is he doing it somehow to try to thwart the Trump administration and force them into more support for Ukraine? I don't know the reasons, but it's a high tension filled moment in that conflict. We're going to talk to Jonathan Savage, who's been recovering this war for a long time, and we're going to get to him here at the bottom of the hour to get you more details on that. So I promise you that. First, though, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We don't have to always focus on, you know, the 20% of things that we just can't seem to find a path. Let's look at the other 80.
Yeah, how about that? That is, of course, the Senate leader, Cindy O'Loughlin. She's been selected. She'll be confirmed when the new Senate is sworn in, I imagine. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get IP reform this year, Cindy?
I think that the Pentagon is legitimately scared of Pete Hegseth because of his opposition to DEI. Keep in mind, the Defense Department is spending around $86 billion right now on various DEI initiatives.
Where's the Department of DOGE? That's what I want to know. $86 million. Is that what she said? $86 billion. She said billion, didn't she? Wow. That's shocking.
Gorbachev has arrested, since Joe Biden's been in the White House, they have arrested people from 181 different countries. That's almost every country in the world.
Yeah, that's Tom Homan, if you haven't recognized the voice already. And he is putting out a warning to these governors around the country that are saying they're going to not cooperate with the Trump administration's deportation plans. He's also adding in there are 46,000 Chinese nationals who have been able to break into our country.
Nearly $1 million spent studying whether or not Japanese quail, if you give them cocaine, whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous.
Apparently, Rand Paul might have been a more appropriate addition to DOGE because he gives a quarterly update on government waste. He stands on the Senate floor and updates America on the kind of waste that their government, and up until now, nobody has cared. Nobody has paid a bit of attention to it. He gives the report every 3 months. Here's more examples of just complete government waste. And maybe finally, under Donald Trump, something will get done about it. Now, if it's appropriated by Congress, that's a little more difficult. If it's something that's being done through an executive action, then you can act more quickly. But that's where the HHS secretary and others come into play. They can look at the NIH and places like that and see where budget issues like that exist. I'm going to play the whole bite for you because you need to hear what Rand Paul claims is going on with some of your American tax dollars.
Gin to a sunfish versus tequila, which would make the sunfish more aggressive? Nearly $1 million spent studying whether or not Japanese quail, if you give them cocaine, whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous. Was it one small step for man? Or was it one small step for a man? And in the end, $750,000 later, they couldn't decide. Was it one step for man, one step for a man? $2 million for the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine. $1.5 million to encourage video gaming in New York. We might be better off spending $1.5 million to discourage kids from playing video games. $388,000 for Columbia University. Be giving a rich university that has $13 billion any money. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. Give money to all the symphonies and we'd make them part of government.
That's insanity. We were talking last week about how, I forget how much money, but I think it was millions of dollars had been allocated to remove part of a cat's brain and see if they could still walk on a treadmill. They were testing out trans chimps, injecting female hormones into male chimps and seeing the impact it had on them. Really? That's what our tax dollars are paying for? And you have all these supposedly intelligent congressmen and women who have been elected to that position,
yeah,
who we think are intelligent and spending our money wisely with the bills that they support, and that's what they're in some cases authorizing?
Maybe we should be doing the testing on them.
I would support
Don't
that.
You think?
Let's see the impact cocaine has on some of these congressmen and women. I agree.
You probably already see that on a daily basis, if I got to be completely honest with you.
You know that guy who had sex with that man, remember, on, was it one of the
In the Senate chamber.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
Well, maybe he was part of the study.
Yeah. Certainly something injected there for sure. So I don't know what's going on with it, but the Department of Government Efficiency has got a lot of work to do. And it'll be interesting to see how quickly these recommendations come flowing in. I think they're working on them now. Maybe when Trump gets sworn in on January 20th, you've got, which I'm planning to attend, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. I am planning to be there for Trump's inauguration this year and covering it for this radio station. So,
and forcing us to work on a holiday.
Forcing you to what?
That's MLK Day as well.
Well, happy MLK Day. Isn't that great? What a great celebration.
Celebrating everything.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to a break, because coming up next, we've got a man who's going to, at the very least, witness all of this firsthand, because he's going to be in the White House with Donald Trump when all of these plans start to roll forward. His name is Will Scharf. He's just been appointed as an assistant to the president. He's going to join us after the break.
Thank you very much, and politics is tough. And it's, in many cases, not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much.
The comments from President-elect Donald Trump when he sat down with sleepy Joe Biden there in the Oval Office. What was that, last week? Boy, time flies, doesn't it? Won't be long before he's in there permanently, and when he is, our next guest will be in close proximity. That is Will Scharf. We've got him on the line this morning. Will, congratulations.
Thanks so much, and great to be with you guys this morning.
Yeah, great to have you, my friend. I was hoping we would get an announcement like this. Is this a position you sought, or did they approach you?
Yeah, actually, when the boss asked me kind of what I was looking for, what I wanted, this was my number one choice. Staff secretary is an incredible position. It's sort of the nerve center of the White House. Of the West Wing. It's also a position with a storied history Brett Kavanaugh, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, served as staff secretary under George W. Bush. It's an incredible role, and I'm just deeply honored that I'll get to do the work come January.
You'll also be an assistant to Donald Trump. So what does that specifically entail?
Assistant to the president is just a White House rank. The way commissioned officer ranks in the White House work, you have assistants to the president, deputy assistants to the president, and then special assistants to the president. So that's just that's not sort of a functional role. The key thing is staff secretary and looking to build a great team of people who can get the job done and make sure the president's well equipped to go out and do the things he has to do in terms of information, in terms of message flow, in terms of getting the right people and the right documents in front of him at the right time.
Wow. Well, it's impressive. I'm proud to know someone who's going to be right there on the front row of history as we watch what goes on the next 4 years. Will, I'm not surprised at all, but obviously the headwinds against President Trump have started blowing already with the way they're reacting, the media, the Democrats, even some weak-kneed Republicans, to some of his cabinet choices.
Yeah, look, I think just at a very basic level, except in the rarest of circumstances, a president is owed tremendous deference when it comes to the people that he chooses to lead the departments that operate under him. The Senate, obviously, has an advice and consent duty under the U.S. Constitution, but I think the president has a right to make his picks. And I'm hopeful that, you know, Republicans in the Senate, Republicans all over the country, understand that President Trump just won a massive electoral mandate, landslide victory in the Electoral College, majority in the popular vote. And I think that the American people clearly trust President Trump to run this country. I think the United States Senate should as well. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot in the coming weeks about a lot of these different nominees. But so far, you know, you look at the picks President Trump's making. We had a Sean Duffy announced as the new transportation secretary last night. I think these are great picks, and I hope the U.S. Senate sees things the same way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I'm not surprised that he'll face some opposition. I've heard several people say that it might dwarf what they did to Brett Kavanaugh when they were trying to get him on the United States Supreme Court. That saddens me, but I truly hope. One of my biggest hope is that for the first time, Republicans who've been handed a mandate here, there's no other way to put it, can act cohesively, because when the Democrats are given a majority, they act ruthlessly. They whip every vote, and I don't often see that with the Republicans. I hope they can do that this time.
Yeah, look, we've seen time and time again the Democrats act like lemmings. They get into line and they follow the leader, even if the leader's leading them off a cliff. We saw that when Nancy Pelosi had, you know, half of her House caucus essentially commit political suicide by voting for Obamacare in 09, 010. We've seen this repeatedly where the Democrats have a degree of discipline and order that the Republican Party's lacking. And in some cases, that's a good thing. You know, the Republican Party, I think, is just more individualistic and more diverse in terms of opinion, in terms of political thought than the Democrats are. And that's a good thing. But, you know, sometimes you do need that party discipline. President Trump's the president-elect. He has a massive electoral mandate, and I think that the Republican Party owes him a great degree of deference, especially when it comes to who he's picking to lead the departments that operate under his authority as president.
I have to ask, with you having represented Trump as one of his attorneys, what do you see happening with some of these cases? Because I think it was the sentencing was delayed with the Judge Mershon case, the so-called hush money case.
It's pretty simple. We won, they lost. That was clear to all of us after we won on the presidential immunity appeal at the Supreme Court on July 1st. The criminal cases have all essentially collapsed at this point. Yesterday, the Georgia Court of Appeals noted that it was basically staying the appeal of the disqualification of Fannie Willis. I'm assuming that that's in large part due to the fact that once President Trump takes office, that entire case needs to be dismissed. It can't proceed. You can't criminally prosecute a sitting president. Same is true in New York. Obviously, the Florida documents case was dismissed because of the unconstitutional appointment of Jack Smith. And D.C. is mired in litigation as well. And that case has been essentially stayed pending January. So on the criminal side, everything's done, everything's dusted. We won, they lost. The civil side, there's going to, you know, continue to be some litigation, continue to be some action there.
Yeah.
But in the main, the Democrats' campaign of lawfare against President Trump failed, and the country's much better off for it. I've said before, I hope that this specter of lawfare, the politicization of law enforcement, of prosecution, never again darkens the door of American politics. It's a terribly sad day for America that the Democrats resorted to those kinds of tactics.
I would agree. Well, Will Scharf, congratulations. We can't wait to watch what you get accomplished, my friend. Thank you.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll talk again soon. Great to get Will on here this morning. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jonathan Savage on what's going on in Ukraine. Well, a couple things are going on in Ukraine. First of all, I understand that Vladimir Zelensky is celebrating the fact that Joe Biden has given him permission to use some long-range U.S. missiles to fire into Russian territory. And there's been some fallout from that because now Russia has responded with lowering the threshold for the use of nuclear weapons. That's how I understand it. And a lot of people are worried about what might be going on. We're fortunate enough to have Jonathan Savage with us from Fox News Radio, who's been covering this war pretty much from the beginning. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What is the latest situation? What exactly does this reaction from Russia mean?
Yeah. Now, Russia had warned that if the United States allowed Ukraine to use American missiles to attack Russian territory, that would be an escalation. It would increase tension, make the United States more deeply involved in the war in Ukraine, and promised there would be some sort of repercussion. Today, Vladimir Putin has formalized Russia changing its nuclear doctrine, saying it could consider using nuclear weapons if there's a conventional assault from a country that isn't just a nuclear power, but is supported by a nuclear power such as the United States. This is something which had been on the cards for a couple of months, as had the U.S. decision, because Ukraine had been asking for this right for a very long time. But it being formalized today, it may seem a bit too much of a coincidence for many people. The Kremlin says that it's not directly related, but certainly the timing of this is getting people's attention.
Well, you have to wonder what Trump's going to be able to do when he comes into office in about 2 months, because certainly he would never have allowed this to happen.
Donald Trump has said that he would bring the war in Ukraine to a quick end. He's never said how he plans to bring it to a quick end. But one thing that he will have the right to do when he takes back office is cancel this approval, cancel Ukraine's right and ability to use long-range American missiles to attack Russian artillery, Russian air bases, Russian missile silos on Russian soil, if he chooses to do so. Now, Ukraine will be strongly appealing for him not to cancel that permission. In fact, Volodymyr Zelensky today, the president of Ukraine, saying to his partners in the West, together we have accomplished much, but we must not fear doing even more.
Jonathan, this war is in its 1,000th day, I understand. I believe it just marked that. Kind of give us an update on where things stand. It strikes me from the reporting I'm hearing that it's largely reached a little bit of a stalemate. Am I wrong about that?
It's not unchanging, but it has looked very similar for some time. Russia has taken control of large parts of eastern Ukraine. It's held that for many months and has been making gradual incremental steps forward over the last several months. The other major change we've seen since the summer is Ukraine taking several hundred square miles of Russian territory, an incursion into Russia, the Kursk region, trying to control part of Russia. It said possibly to act as a buffer between Ukraine and Russian forces, but also possibly to use as a negotiating tool if this war does end at the negotiating table.
Yeah, I know that North Korean troops have been involved over there, I understand. Is there any indication from the State Department why the President Biden would have made this decision on the missiles with only 2 months left in his administration? Isn't it true that Vladimir Zelensky has been asking for this for months?
He has been asking for this for months, and he, I think, has been trying to get some other allies to put pressure on President Biden and the White House to make this decision. But what we're told, what we understand, is that President Biden approved it, spurred on by Russia, inviting 10,000 North Korean soldiers into that fight against Ukraine, seeing what Russia doing as an escalation that requires an escalation in response.
But what confuses me is the fact that the North Korean troops have been in Russia for weeks. I mean, I remember reporting on that for quite some time. So even after that, Biden delayed this decision. So that's especially what's odd to me about the timing of all of this.
He's coming in for a lot of criticism about the delay, but the West has been criticized many times by Ukraine and its allies for delaying decisions that it's eventually made. Ukraine asked for tanks, asked for fighter jets, and it took an awful long time for the US and the West to give them those weapons and those bits of military hardware. This is going to be criticism which is going to come. Some say it may be too little, too late, perhaps a confused strategy, but at the same time, Ukraine is grateful and is concerned that this move could be rolled back in the new year.
Wow. Jonathan Savage, Fox News Radio, thank you for the information. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good to get a sort of on-the-spot view. You don't have to be a foreign policy expert to understand the danger Joe Biden has put the world in here. He resisted this call to allow these weapons to be used up until the last 60 days of his administration, which puts the problem squarely in Donald Trump's lap. And I can't help but to analyze it any other way, except that he wants to commit force in a way that kind of boxes Donald Trump in, right? Now that he's given Ukraine that permission, even if Donald Trump withdraws that permission, Russia's already changed its policy. I think it's extraordinarily dangerous what Joe Biden's done here. I mean, it's almost like he's pushing this to expand this war to spite the incoming administration. Mm-hmm. I don't know why else you'd make a last minute change with 2 months to go.
Especially when, if his reasoning is because North Korean troops have been there, like I mentioned, they've been there for weeks. I think the timing of this is very concerning. I think this was just stupidity on Joe Biden's part. Whoever was the driving force behind this decision and somehow convinced Biden to say yes, it angers me, to be honest with you. And I know Trump will come in there and cancel this agreement that we have with Ukraine, but who's to say that the Ukrainian forces won't take advantage of that in these next 60 or so days, use the missiles, and then that just further escalates the situation there with Russia. And then when Trump takes office, we're entering into World War III, and maybe that's a bit dramatic, but I mean, that's where my head goes, worrying that any little incremental move forward using U.S. weapons could seriously launch us into World War III.
Well, people like Jonathan Savage, I'm sure, have a better hand on this. Jim Carafano, to a greater extent, as a foreign policy expert. I think what we've witnessed in Ukraine is evidence that the mighty Russian army can't even take over a second-rate country like Ukraine with a fairly weak military. Now, I'm not saying they don't have an iron will, because they've stuck with it and they've resisted for a long time, but they haven't even been able to complete what they're doing in Ukraine. I don't know how big of a threat the world faces from Vladimir Putin, who understands, whether it's still policy or not, the idea of mutually assured destruction. If he unleashes nuclear weapons, he's going to get hit with nuclear weapons, and then everybody dies. Mm-hmm. I can't envision him going there, because all he wants to do is be in power. And you're not in power if you've been nuked. So I just hope that we're not on the precipice of something like that. Those are dangerous times. And Joe Biden is not helping by stirring the pot right now, for sure. All right, coming up, we got In Other News with Ethan. Next hour, Todd Patrick Pyro joining us at about 7:20. We're going to give away some Guns and Hoses tickets today in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also be joined by Ryan Wiggins of Wiggins America. We'll be back in just a minute.
What's happening?
Oh, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Got a new job opportunity for you if you are a drummer. Primus is seeking a new drummer after Tim Herb Alexander's departure, citing a loss of passion for playing for the band. In a social media post, Primus invited skilled drummers to apply, emphasizing creativity, groove, and the ability to contribute musically over flashy techniques. Applicants are encouraged to submit resumes and performance videos on their social medias. So if you want to play for Primus, there's your chance.
I don't know who that is, but I'd love to see some of these submissions.
They do the South Shocking. Park theme.
Yeah.
Well, I know of the show South Park, but I don't think I've ever seen a full episode.
Wow. What?
Okay. Guys, I grew up with two sisters. Let me remind you of that. It was a lot of Father of the Bride and While You Were Sleeping.
Ah. Princess Diaries.
I do like Princess Diaries.
They're making a third one.
Well, but, those are good, too. You just got to mix it up.
Thanks, Sue. The last Primus, whenever they tour, they never do their own material. Like, last time they were here, they did Pink Floyd. And the time before that, they did the soundtrack to Willy Wonka.
All cover stuff. Huh? Wow.
Yeah,
That's annoying.
He's a weird guy.
He is a weird dude.
Yeah, Les Claypool is a weird guy, but he's the bass player, so.
Tried out for Metallica. Didn't make it.
Didn't know that.
Little fun fact. So I told you that Beyonce is going to be playing the Houston Texans show on Christmas Day. Well, Vivid Seats reported that spiking surge in ticket demand happened. A 713% spike in traffic to the game's ticket page, and they also had a 218% increase to the traffic of the Texans page. Ticket prices also jumped 40% overnight, with the average price raising from $378 to $528.
Just because she's going to be singing,
she's going to be there
a few songs at halftime. Wow.
Can we just stop?
Because they don't trust to watch it on Netflix.
Well, what if she shows up and decides not to sing?
Good point.
Then we realize that they paid her how many millions of dollars? $3 million to be there?
Oh, yeah. I would have no desire.
Well, she's from Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe any money she makes, she can donate to Kamala Harris.
Oh, maybe to help pay off. She's out fundraising right now, I understand.
The Baseball Hall of Fame ballot for the 2025 includes 14 new first-time candidates highlighted by legendary outfielder Ichiro Suzuki, widely expected to be a first ballot inductee.
Yeah.
Suzuki, he had a 19-year career featuring accolades such as the 2001 MVP, Rookie of the Year, 10 All-Star appearances, and 3,089 hits. Other notable newcomers include Felix Hernandez, CeCe Sabathia, and Dustin Pedroia.
Is Pete Rose anywhere on the list?
No. Nope.
Yeah, Mark, he is.
He has expired. He has outlived his lifetime ban. Why is he not in the Hall of Fame?
He's never going to live down what happened. I don't agree
he's
with that.
Dead. I know.
Well, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think that he's ever going to be cleared of that. I think, sadly, people are always going to associate him with that whole scandal.
Shouldn't be a Hall of Fame
that.
If he's not in there.
But he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
McDonald's is investing $100 million to support franchisees impacted by last month's E. coli outbreak linked to the Quarter Pounder cheese hamburger and the onions from Taylor Farms. The outbreak affected 14 states, sickened 104 people, hospitalized 34, and caused one death. $65 million of the funds will specifically aid franchisees in the hardest hit states.
So they lost that much money over it? Or are they getting sued over it?
They didn't say if they were getting sued. I think it's more of that they didn't have that money because they weren't selling everything.
Oh.
If that makes sense.
Wow.
Is it just me or have E. coli cases been rampant lately? Like, we're talking about the 90-plus cases in the Rockland School District.
Yeah, Summit High School.
See, you shouldn't eat salad or onions.
So Carl's got this figured out. He's never going to have that problem.
He just avoids
all that.
Carl, you must be so healthy with all the vegetables that you don't eat.
What do I eat every day, Kim?
An orange. He eats an orange.
Good job, Carl.
You're never going to have scurvy.
I'm not going to get scurvy.
I ate a banana today, so see, I'm being healthy. Go ahead.
Australia proposed a law to ban social media for children under 16, and it's generated both anticipation and concern as it aims to protect youth mental health by restricting access to platforms like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese supports the measure as a safeguard, with tech companies being held responsible for compliance rather than parents.
This is what happens when you don't have a Bill of Rights and a United States Constitution. They're insane down there.
We'll see what happens with it. All the people that wanted to leave over Trump's election, well, they can head to Denmark. The greater Copenhagen region is offering newcomers life quality insurance. It's a campaign guaranteed an improved quality of life for those moving to the area. If new residents find that life there does not meet their expectations, the region will assist in moving you back home. So you get to go and try out Denmark.
4 years.
In Denmark. You have to stay 4 years, and if it hasn't worked out by then, they'll pay for you to go back.
It's almost worth it. Why not go there and live 4 years and be like, I hated it. Then they send you back.
Any way to make sure that word gets through to De Niro and a few of those other people?
People like Eva Longoria. Remember, I've heard that she had left, and then she comes out and says, no, I haven't left. But so many people have claimed they're leaving.
She's been living overseas anyway.
One more quick one. A recent survey reveals that managing Gen Z employees poses challenges for many managers, with nearly 1 in 5 considering quitting due to frustration with a generation's work habits and attitudes.
Wow.
People don't want to manage Gen Z, apparently.
It's called entitlement. It is a problem.
It is definitely a problem. Coming up, we will talk to Todd Pyro about all the craziness going on up in D.C. in the wake of the big Trump victory. How about that? We've also got a pair of Guns N' Hoses tickets to give away. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.